But I got a message today, and we're going to continue with our series, The Lord is My Shepherd, based on Psalm 23, which is our 23rd birthday. You can make of that what you want. I call it a coincidence myself, but anyway. And I'm just going to be focusing once again. Last week we started this series and we focused on the first five words, which are, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to continue just focusing on the first five words. But the Bible says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I won't speak for that long. I intend to be finished, the service to be finished by 10:30, and we'll go and have some food. That's the goal. But Father, we just need, Lord, your word. Lord, we need strength from your Spirit. We need wisdom. We need encouragement. And so for these next 25 minutes, Holy Spirit, we pray for ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us as a church and to individuals. And I pray the blessing of Almighty God upon my brothers and sisters online and in this place today, that, Lord, you'll speak to them powerfully today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today I want us to look at and say together Psalm 23, but instead of it in the modern version like we did last week, I'd like us to do it in the King James Version this week. And I suppose many of you would even know it off by heart. But the Lord is my shepherd in King James Version. Here we go. You ready, everybody? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Over the next few weeks, we're just going to park ourselves in Psalm 23. Until we feel it's time now to move on to something else. And I really feel in each of these messages that we're going to bring, and others will be bringing messages from Psalm 23 as well, the Lord has a word for us. So the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody, do you like the banner behind me? It says it all, doesn't it? It's a wonderful banner. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, everybody, the Bible tells us, and I believe this, is that all of Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. And so that means, therefore, God is the divine author of the 66 books of the Bible. So that means that Psalm 23 is far more than an inspirational poem written by an ancient author. King David crafted Psalm 23, but when he did, he was carried along by the Holy Spirit, because God had something to say through this psalm. But when Psalm 23 was first written, it was not written in English. I think most of us know that. It wasn't written in English because 3,000 years ago, English just didn't exist. Psalm 23 was originally written in Hebrew. But the thing is, Hebrew words don't directly match up with English words. It's completely different, as you can see on the screen. In fact, if I'm right, Hebrew is read from right to left, whereas we read books from left to right. And so the translators of the Bible have worked really hard to make sure that our English words accurately convey the original Hebrew message to us. But sometimes it's useful, everybody, to use a Bible tool like a concordance. I generally now use internet concordances, but this is one of my old concordances, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. You need to go to the gym to be able to pick the thing up. It weighs so much. So that's a concordance of the Bible. And it's a very useful tool because you can look at the concordance and you can then, through what they say there, you could take a peek back into the original Hebrew language of the Bible and the meaning of the words. And so if you do that with the Strong's Concordance down there or your own concordance, if you do that, you will notice that sitting behind the opening sentence of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," that there is something that is very deep and very profound and very relevant to you and your life today. I will reveal what sits behind the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," in just a moment. But what I do need to do so that we grasp the significance of it is I need to give us a little bit of background first. So here we go. This is background. Everybody good? Background doesn't mean, oh, fade out till you get back to telling us what's behind this. Background is stay tuned because God has something to say. Here we go. A long time before Psalm 23 was written 3,000 years ago, there was a man by the name of Abraham. And many of you here know that Abraham is a major character in the Bible, a very important character. Abraham lived about 500 years after Noah's flood. The Middle Eastern city that he lived in was called Ur of the Chaldeans. And that city was surprisingly sophisticated and comfortable, but it was idolatrous, a lot like Australia is today. That means that the people there had long forgotten about God, and instead they followed other gods and they followed their own wicked ways. I'd say most of our world is like that today. What do you think, everybody? But Abraham was just different to everybody else. He was a flawed man like us. He was a sinful man like us. But he reached out to God when nobody else was. He reached out to God and God responded and reached down to him. But the thing is, and we need to appreciate this, is that Abraham did not have a Bible because it hadn't been written. There were no Ten Commandments to follow. Jesus was yet to come in the future. Then there were no churches, there were no Christians. And Abraham really, he didn't know much about God at all. We take things for granted about God, but we've learned them from the Bible. Abraham didn't know much about God at all. But Abraham was just a God seeker with very limited understanding of what God was like. But that was enough for God. And so God spoke to Abraham's heart. And Abraham obeyed God and he believed God, even though most people around him followed other gods. And Abraham actually followed God to the land of Canaan. Everybody still with me? Give me a wave. Who would like a drink of water with me right now? Whose phone's that? Abraham followed God even to a place called Canaan. And that's just that. But God loved Abraham's faith. And ladies and gentlemen, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God promised Abraham that he would bless him. That was a really big deal. Bless him and bless his kids and his grandkids, all of his descendants. So God pronounced a great blessing on him and his descendants, and he promised that he would make Abraham a blessing to other nations. And all of that's written in the book of Genesis. But this is where it gets interesting. To confirm his promises to Abraham, his good promises, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. Now, today we understand that a covenant is an agreement of cooperation. We know that. Covenants are about people agreeing to help one another, to protect one another. People, businesses, and even nations often make covenants. And sometimes they break covenants, like Russia has just gone and done. They had a treaty and they've broken it. But in the ancient Middle East, covenants were taken so very seriously. And it involved more than just a signature on a piece of paper. It involved more than just a handshake, or it involved more than just saying, I promise you, trust me. It was much more than that. Firstly, two people or two groups of people would come to an agreement on the terms of the covenant. And they had to determine what they would do for one another, and we expect that. But most importantly, the covenant had then to be sealed with an oath. An oath. This oath usually involved the slaughter of animals. I think the animals get a bad rap in the Bible. You know, you wouldn't want to be an animal at that time. But it involved the slaughter of animals. These animals were not only killed, but they were cut in half, literally cut in half. And then the people entering the covenant would walk together between the two halves of the slain animals. So part of the animal was there, part of the animal was there, and animals would be more than one, and it would be like a pathway of blood. Dead animals either side, and they would together walk the pathway of blood. And as the two people entering into the covenant walked through the pathway of blood, they were declaring an oath, and they would, as they walked, they would repeat together the terms of their covenant. We've agreed on the covenant, we've slaughtered these animals, there's a pathway of blood, they walked together, and while walking, they repeated the terms of their covenant. It was very gory, but it was very serious business. And by the act of walking through the pathway of blood, they were declaring an oath that if either one of them should fail to uphold the terms of the covenant, if they should fail to help one another, then may they be cursed and slain and cut asunder just like those poor animals. Whoa! Would you like to make a covenant like that? Cutting a covenant was a very serious thing, and that's what it was called. Cutting a covenant was a very serious thing in the ancient world. And incredibly, now this is where it gets really interesting. Incredibly, Almighty God bent down to enter into such a covenant with a flawed, old, Middle Eastern man named Abraham simply because he had faith in what God had taught him to do. And so God said, okay, we're going to do this. And so he instructed Abraham to slay some animals in preparation for what was going to happen. Abraham obeyed because that's what Abraham did. He prepared the pathway of blood. Abraham did as he was told. But after the animals had been prepared, God then intervened and he caused a deep sleep to come upon Abraham. And Abraham fell asleep. And as Abraham slept, he suddenly had a vision. It was a stunning vision. It was an overwhelming vision of God. And in the vision, he saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the two halves of the animal carcasses. And the smoking fire pot and flaming torch represented the presence of God. Abraham was gobsmacked. He was astounded. He was overwhelmed by this vision of God because he understood exactly what was going on by what he saw. And Abraham watched while Almighty God walked alone between the carcasses of the dead animals. God walked all by himself without Abraham walking with him. This covenant God made with Abraham was a one-sided covenant. And by entering into this covenant, there is a sense in which God said, and he was saying really to Abraham, if I don't keep my word to you, Abraham, let me be put asunder like these animals. Abraham understood exactly the symbolism of everything that was going on. Truth is, God put his integrity and his deity on the line as a confirmation of his oath of promise to Abraham. That's a good time to say, wow. And say backwards with me, wow. And so this extraordinary one-sided covenant was made between God and a man. And this covenant was based on who God is, not on who Abraham was or on what Abraham would do. And this event, and it's going to affect you in a minute, that's where we're headed. This event in Genesis chapter 16 is one of the most pivotal events in all of human history. And most of us just read over it and don't realize just how significant it is to you sitting here today. Then as time went on after that covenant was made, something significant happened. God kept loading extra promises and loading extra blessings on his original covenant with Abraham. You see, God has an abundance of blessings that he gives away. With God, you can always say this, but there is more. There is more, there is more, there's more. You never exhaust the blessings of Almighty God. And God gave away more favor, loading up on the covenant, but he did this by using special personal covenant names of himself to convey his extra blessings on Abraham and on his descendants. For example, I understand a lot of you understand this, but this is a good reminder for you. For example, several decades after God had made his covenant with Abraham, God tested Abraham's faith and love by asking that he sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac, to Almighty God. Truth is, God never intended for Isaac to be harmed, and God did intervene, and God stopped Abraham from carrying out the sacrifice. And instead of sacrificing his only son, Abraham saw a ram that was caught in the thickets, and he realized that God had provided the ram for him. And Abraham then sacrificed that poor ram to God instead of sacrificing Isaac. That's all great, but something very important happened. With that event happening of God sending the ram, Abraham's eyes were opened and God gave Abraham a divine revelation of himself, and he gave it to him through a special covenant name that reflected who God was. And that name was this, and we know it, Jehovah Jireh. You got it on the screen. There it is, Jehovah Jireh. This beautiful name of God simply means that God provides. God provides. And Abraham didn't know that before. You know it. He didn't know that. See, he's learning about God. And Abraham learned through the covenant name that provision flows out of the heart of God. Abraham eventually died. But God continued to reveal more favor to the descendants of Abraham, which was the Israelites, and even more personal covenant names. So now we come back to Psalm 23, verse 1. We, of course, read, "The Lord is my shepherd." But sitting behind those five English words is another covenant name of God. And that covenant name is Jehovah Ra. God is shepherd. But because it is a covenant name to Abraham and all of his descendants, the word my must be added to it because it's personal. So we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Ra, covenant name, the Lord is my shepherd. And God caused King David to put that covenant name at the start of Psalm 23. What does that mean? It means this. A person who is a descendant of Abraham has a divine right to embrace everything that Jehovah Ra stands for and means. Such a person, a descendant of Abraham, could say this, Jehovah is my shepherd, so I have everything I need. He will restore my soul because I'm in covenant. He will be with me in the valley of the shadow of death. He will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies because I am in covenant. It's more than a poem. It's about covenant with God. And God is obliged. He made himself obliged to respond and fulfill what Psalm 23 promises because years earlier he walked between those carcasses in covenant with Abraham and his future descendants. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. But this is a little problem. If you're not a descendant of Abraham, then you have no divine right to use that covenant name. I'll say it again. If you are not a descendant of Abraham, this does become just nothing more than a poem to you. If you are not a descendant of Abraham, you have no right to claim that the Lord is my shepherd. Now you may say, well, that's not fair, because I would love to be blessed and favored by God. I would love that covenant with all the covenant names to apply to me. I wish I was a descendant of Abraham. I wish I was a Jewish person. Instead, I'm Anglo-Saxon. I'm Asian. I'm African. I'm Aboriginal. Whatever. Well, thank God your ethnicity does not matter anymore. That's because the Bible says in Romans 9:25, it says this, quoting the Old Testament, it says, concerning the Gentiles, I'm a Gentile, you're a Gentile. Concerning the Gentiles, God says, those who are not my people, I will now call my people. And Galatians 3 verse 7 says this, and the real descendants of Abraham, the real children of Abraham, are those who put their faith in Almighty God. Come on, come on. I'm going to read that again. The real children of Abraham are those who put their faith in Almighty God. So any person from any ethnic group in any place in the world can tap into that old covenant of Abraham by putting their faith in Almighty God, just like Abraham did, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Instead of being a physical descendant of Abraham, you become a spiritual descendant of Abraham. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Jehovah Ra is your Jehovah Ra. You can say, the Lord is my shepherd, because you are included in Abraham's covenant. That's a good place to say amen too. Amen. And so all of the benefits that are listed in Psalm 23 are yours, because an old Middle Eastern man named Abraham placed his faith in Almighty God, and you're doing the same today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But wait, there is more. There are eight covenant names of God. A lot of you know this already. Given to the children of Abraham that you find throughout the Old Testament. We have Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner or my protector. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. How we need that today. Jehovah Ra, what we're talking about, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, the one who makes us right with God. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the warrior God. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there or he's with you, Emmanuel. All of these beautiful covenant names that describe who God is, and the beautiful names are covered by one mighty name that is above all other names. You're there already, aren't you? The Bible says this, and God gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of, Jesus. Come at the name of, Jesus. One more time, at the name of, Jesus. Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All these covenant names are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ today? You know, they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ, all these covenant names. And that's why the Bible says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Whatever you need saving from, whether it be from your sin or hell or from a sickness or from a fear, there is a covenantal name to cover your need. So dear brother and sister here at Real Life Church, everybody in this room, everybody online today, you have every divine right as a child of God, a faith descendant of Abraham, a born-again believer, you have a right to call upon Almighty God to help you in every circumstance of life. Maybe you need to do that today. And because God has positioned himself to be obliged to work in your life, because he cut covenant with our father in the faith in Abraham, so he will answer our prayers as we call upon his name. One final thought. Can I do one more final thought, everybody? And then we're going to read Psalm 23. In Abraham's day, the final act of making a covenant was to sit down and enjoy a covenant meal. But when you read Genesis 16, Abraham and God never had that covenant meal. Never happened. And that's because God delayed the covenant meal because he had more to add to his covenant with us. And now, Jesus Christ is God's final word on his covenant with Abraham and his spiritual descendants. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ finally made Abraham's covenant complete. So every time we have communion together, we are having the covenant meal. We do it repeatedly, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, and we're reminding ourselves we are in covenant with Almighty God. Amen, 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 amen. How blessed we are. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. And all the declarations that we're going to read one more time in Psalm 23 are yours by covenant. Would you stand with me? Oh, Lord, hallelujah. You ready, everybody? And so we're going to read it. And then, you know, there might be a line that we read. Don't worry about anybody else. If there's a line that we're reading that resonates with you, you could say, you could shout out, I'll have that, or that's mine, that's mine. As we go through this time, maybe, you know, you need a breakthrough in a particular area, and as you read something, you go, that's for me. Shout it out, say, that's mine, that's for me. As we read through this psalm, then when we get to the end, I'm going to pray blessing in Jesus' name. So here we go. Read with me, please. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hold on, that's mine. That's mine, everybody. Come on. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's mine. Come on. Hallelujah, I'll take that. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's mine. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes, Jesus. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's mine. I'll have that. I'll have that. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I'll take that. Come on. I'll have that. Thank you, Jesus. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll have that as well. I'll have it all. I'll have it all. We take it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. The Lord's my shepherd. Oh, hallelujah, the Lord is my shepherd today. We got nothing to fear, nothing to fear, because the Lord is our shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. Shabarabudaragasandaranda. Oh, hallelujah. Goodness and mercy is following us. Hallelujah. Not curses. Not the past. Goodness and mercy is following us today. I'll have that. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, in that psalm, I really love, Lord, where it says there, you lead us beside the quiet waters. You restore our soul. And today, we've only started the year, but there's a lot of people feeling already exhausted by this year. Just switch on the news exhausters, Lord. COVID exhausters. We've had enough of hearing about it all, really. But Lord, we come into your presence today. And we say, Lord, we're all yours. Restore our souls. Restore our souls. Quiet. Restore our souls. Peace be still. Restore our souls. We give you all the tiredness, the weariness. We thank you that you are refreshing us today. We'll take that. We'll take that. I pray for my brothers and sisters. They lift their hearts to you, lift their hands to you. I thank you for each and every one. I love them. I appreciate them. I thank you for the hand of God that's upon each person here. Thank you for the gifts that you've given them. I thank you, Lord, that each person who comes to Hit Real Life Church brings a special flavor to help our church be what it is today. And so I bless them. I bless their families. I pray for those who need a breakthrough in their lives. Lord, those who are struggling, those who have come under the attack of the enemy, those right now who feel, Lord, like they're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, we take comfort and strength, Lord, from this psalm today that we're in covenant with you, that there's nothing for us to fear. Lord, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Lord, you're bringing us through. Lord, you're bringing us to a place of feasting. Lord, even though surrounded by enemies. And I pray that over my brothers and sisters today. I pray this week will be a good week. Lord, I pray a blessed week. I pray a week filled with the presence of God. And Lord, I pray you'll grant to people here at Real Life Church the desires of their heart in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand, shall we?